Yeah, it was that auto. It like auto. You just talked into it.
Yeah,
that's whatever. Right. You should cut it off.
Smoking strange. When I met a penguin, goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and upload it to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk fast. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Right. Ready.
Still had a pause to fart before we started. It's like, hold on.
Just let me clear the air.
Yeah.
And because Dell's a conductor, it sounded beautiful.
It was very rhythmic. Thank you. It was better than that, even.
That was pretty good.
That was not the greatest fart.
Artistic
in the world.
Interpretation.
Just a tribute. ladies and gentlemen, we have here today. We are gathered here today to present you with the 158th version of the Deranged Penguin podcast. No, it's really just like an episode of, an entry into the canon, the mythos.
Yeah, it's an aversion.
It's not an iteration. Yeah. This isn't like beta test.
Well, it could be if you're like, you know what? What is the perfect podcast? Like this is our 158th attempt to try to do that. You know, I want to follow up on something.
Every time.
Dell last week said that Kung. Well, Dell was trying to, like, mostly when you say something. Dell said come. Mostly when you say something and Dell tries to remember what it was, he never quite grasps the whole thing, but he gets about 30% of it. Like, oh, yeah, like, Kung Fury. Yeah, it's a thing. So we went and we saw it, and you know what? That shit's hilarious. It was fucking hilarious. We're gonna recap the rest of last week's episode for you real quick, so that way you can have a guide as you go into the past and listen to that episode. But Dell mentioned that, and it was great. You know what? It was so great because it was a perfect parody. It wasn't winking at you. You know, it was exactly if you got all the things that from like the 80s to like the early 90s and distilled them down into their essence, and you got like 80s concentrate. I think it was that. That was it. Because it was about everything that I would have loved if I were 8 years old, 9 years old. Mm-hmm. I would have been like, shit, kung fu, dinosaurs, shooting people, punching Nazis in the dick. This is...
hacking time.
The hack, yeah. Like, do you want to hack time? It's like, oh, no. I think you hack time too hard.
Oh, now I gotta watch that again.
Yeah. Oh, you really could just watch it weekly and just like, this is pretty great. Because you can watch it on all those levels. Like, you know what? I just want to see some just stupid kung fu. That's it. It's 30 minutes of it. If you want to see just some jokes, there it is. 30 minutes of it. So that was great. Thanks, Dell.
No problem.
Thanks, Dell. Ladies and gentlemen, you go out and find that. Gina, could you please take us through last week? What else did we laugh about and joke about to Kether?
Well, we talked about hunger nausea and
how it's a thing.
You thought it was a myth.
Yeah.
But it was a fact.
Shit, it's real.
I was like, oh, I'm so hungry. I'm puking all over. What can save me? Pizza. I need pizzas.
It happens. We talked about Dell's new teaching gig,
mm-hmm.
How it hath begun.
Gather round, pupils.
We talked about movie sequels and how they basically suck, unless it's the second one when there's three, and then it's usually the third one that's worse. But sometimes it's just if you name it part two that it's really bad, and if you just change the title altogether, it's better. But also sometimes if you recreate it all together, that's usually where it goes wrong. Mm-hmm. But if you just have another take on it, it could be pretty good. Mm-hmm. So there was like some pretty clear rules to figuring out you know, when and they do and don't work. And we talked about the snowstorm on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. God. They're really hyping it. Brad was hyping it so much.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I don't remember actually discussing that last week. I remember saying something about being snowed in, but that was about it.
You talked those at length about your cabin fever,
the shoveling the snow, and how to reciprocate.
You talked about snow and
somebody helped you
give a gift because somebody helped you get your car out. Didn't help you not get your car out.
Yeah, Adam wanted to murder your neighbor. And
you were like angry at them. Like, how should I respond to human being helping me with the? It's like, dude, just
do I kill him? You sound like a Nazi robot right there, by the way.
Yeah, that was the idea. That's the idea. Thanks for that. Yeah.
Yeah, and on the whole neighbor thing, we were talking about, you know, tokens, which was your word.
God, I said that literally 85,000 times.
I wanted to kill you at the time.
I listened to the. I was like, God, what
you
the fuck?
You seemed unaware.
Okay. I'm going to kill that guy, Adam.
Token.
It's just a token. I mean, it's a token.
Token? It's a token, right?
It's a token of your appreciation.
It's really just a token.
I just want to emphasize that. Oh, it's probably, I was just like flabbergasted that Brad and Dale were both like, yeah, I don't know about these people helping you. And then, you know, what? That's it. They should be grateful for it.
Yeah, that was Dale's take.
Yeah.
Oh, that's basically it. And then we talked about the Spurs loss.
Yeah, we followed up on followed up also. Like, we talked a little bit more.
I think you and I zoned out there.
And added to, Dell's and Brad, well, Brad's mentorship stuff, and how nobody was ready for Brad.
Right.
Nobody was ready to be Brad. And then Dell linked to like the Southern Miss Coral stuff, and we didn't link to it. He sent the link, and we didn't. So we'll link that again today. By the way, I asked people, hey, is learn the guitar a phrase? They're all like, yeah, it's a phrase. It's a thing. You can learn the guitar. I even Googled it. So you know what? Fuck you guys, all right?
You Googled it? You were relying on other people having searched that before as your...
No, I did. There was one thing I did, and I went around saying, I asked guitar people. Like, hey,
Did you ask them verses? Did you ask it as a, is learn the guitar legitimate versus learn to play the guitar?
No, I didn't give them options.
I doubt that.
I didn't give them options.
No, there's not a multiple options.
New wonder.
Of course, she didn't.
I mean, I guess
does
like,
this
if
hit
you say,
the ear wrong? And they're like, no, that sounds perfectly great, Adam. You're an amazing speaker, and I love you so hard.
We're
you probably
learn
just
math.
Said,
I'm
"Can I learn the
math.
Guitar?" And they were like, "Yeah, sure you can."
No,
why
I
did you say it like
I said,
that?
"Hey, is learn the guitar? You know, like a phrase? Does that sound weird to you?" They're like, "No, it doesn't." And I was like, "Good." I knew that Brad and Dell and Gina were all assholes, and I hate
Fuck
them.
You.
They were just asking stupid people. Not worthy of mentorship.
I guess. You're not going to get my mentorship.
It is not as accurate as saying learn how to play, but we don't say learn how to do math. We say learn math. Yeah. Learning math.
Yeah, right? Learn the guitar. Learn the ins and outs and ups and downs.
Of which guitar?
The A's and G's, I suppose, right?
The.
And E's. So that was that.
That
guys,
was.
How you guys been since we left you last? It's good. Are you developing a creep mustache there, Del?
No, it's just lack of shaving.
Oh, okay, all right, you get the whole thing there. I thought you were getting
on a full dick target right there.
Yeah, yep, all the way.
Please insert you. No, I mean, from this area, it looks. I mean, this area. This angle
from San Antonio.
Yeah,
this geographic
this
region.
You look. I mean, it looks like you got one of those like 1987 mustaches.
It's like a creeper stash title.
Well, a little bit. Emilio Estevez and stakeout.
It
yeah.
doesn't.
It's a little bit. It's not actually. It's actually a lot fuller. I just have it's really light, but then I have like this streak of like darker hair right there. This patch of darker.
This is great. Great. Audio.
I think you should get.
What else
justice.
Can we describe?
Howard Stern does that all the time.
If I can better describe.
I think you should get some just.
Neck here.
You should get some just for men.
And a prickly.
And make it darker.
Look so.
You know,
so
it's really fucking full.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
I'll do that.
That'd be amazing.
It won't look weird at all.
So, Brad, do you
probably
shave?
Like
you shave daily?
Black.
Do you shave? You shave daily.
It just comes in that way. I don't know.
You shave your face daily?
I can't.
What do you mean you can't? Like you're not allowed to?
It'll like rip my skin apart.
It's too tender.
Like if I do it every day, I get
like ingrown hairs all over my face.
Ew.
The most frequent that I can go is every other day.
Yeah, I don't do it because I don't like the way I look. This looks weird.
Well, yeah, it's because you're ugly. I mean, on average, I usually go like every third or fourth day.
See, I mean, you always have that weird, like, European guy shadow. You know what I mean? It's like,
do
you're
going
to
really?
Say something, you know, like French to me. I'm like, oh, creepy French guy going to say something inappropriate.
Tony Parker.
Yeah. What do you got there? I like your baguette. You know? Is that what they did there? That's, am I offending yeah. French guys?
You
that's
probably
fine. Because that French guy cursed at me in French. Fuck him. Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah. Ooh, at the man. Airport.
Animal!
Yeah. The man. Get back. Get out of line. You know? You don't need
they almost
signs.
Fought each other.
Well, welcome to America. Get yeah. in back.
Welcome to America, buddy.
Get to the back line.
Should have done that, right?
USA! USA!
Couldn't go an episode without mentioning your fucking trip.
Yeah, I could.
Also, when we were in the train.
Impossible.
Where were we at? 5 for 5 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta do it. I mean, you know, I went.
The memories.
We have
last,
a whole cubby. We put together some IKEA furniture. We got one of them big Calyx shelves. One cube there is devoted to the stuff we got in Spain. A couple books. Some coins. So, yeah.
A venereal disease.
Yeah, a little bit of that. Scraped it off.
I don't think he meant to share that on the air.
No.
No, it's fine. You know, we're open.
If you need some meds for that, just
it's cool.
Let me know what you need. I'll send it your way.
All right, sweet. Yeah. Cure the cubicle. I sent this out a couple weeks ago, I think, intending to talk about it on the podcast, but we talked about other stuff. Did you guys happen to read that Wile E. Coyote article by Albert Bernicco on Deadspin?
I did.
Yeah. All right, good. It's great. It's fascinating in and of itself. It's great. Just like yeah, it was. They really break down. He said he took a long time. He devoted a long time to writing it and researching it. But basically, he, you know, breaks down a Wile E. Coyote cartoon and talks about how it's like great. It's great jokes. You know, it's great filmmaking, and all of it's great. And he kind of makes a point about life and whatever. So I recommend everybody read it. And I didn't really have much to say when I read it. It was like, yeah, well, you know, you guys can look at this. But I was thinking about that. And then earlier this week, I saw, again, an article on creativity. You know, they're like, well, you know, based on a bunch of studies that they do, we're like one of the least creative generations
ever.
The guys that have the studies or whatever.
The guys that spend their time doing studies, those creative guys.
Well, all right. So, I mean, you know, to give this premise a bit of weight, the way they develop the test is like they have you answer a bunch of questions. It's kind of like a Gifted and Talented. Did you ever take some of those way back in the day? It's kind of like those things.
Gifted and Talented.
Oh, yeah, both of them?
They proved it.
They're like, wow, look at this gal. So, basically, these tests, when they give them to you when you're a kid, it kind of holds true. They're like pretty successful, and it correlates better than like IQ and whatever other else measures of intelligence. It's a measure of creativity. It's like how many answers can you come up with to answer some kind of question? Like what can you do with this box? And you know, you give a list, and the more creative people come up with more and varied answers. And there's a whole thing. I think I can't remember the name of the test off the top of my head. It's not really important. So. Organizations and cities and schools and whatever, they all use this creativity test. Can you guys hear our dog drinking his water right now?
Mm-hmm.
So no, rude.
Loud ass drinking.
Right below us.
Oh, there's that one too. So the thing is that they've noticed that we've gotten less creative over time. And there are some schools that like, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, where they try to break this mold by getting kids to, like, learn the curriculum of the year by, like, solving the problem and being creative. So they give them, like, a project. Like, all right, how do we reduce the sound outside, you know, from getting in here? Well, first you have to figure out how do sound waves travel. And so they, like, look up a bunch of stuff, and they have a bunch of teams trying to come up with good ideas. And they're like, all right, well, what is the best thing? And then now how do we get this done? You have to write the, you know, the whoever – the school district president, whatever now, superintendent, And so in the course of doing all this, they get excited and they learn about it. And they found a couple things. Like, one, the kids are excited to be there at school every day. Two, they killed the standardized test. They just destroyed it. Like, the scores are way up. And these are all, like, kids that are poor. And basically all the things that correlate with bad test scores. And, you know, they learned their entire curriculum a lot earlier than they would have normally. Like, sound waves, persuasive writing, group interaction, all these things, they learn it, you know, by solving a problem. And, you know, so they're like, wow, this is amazing. How come we don't really teach like this anyway? And, you know, instead we're trying to get to more standardized testing. Do you guys feel like you're not creative? Do you guys feel like it was whittled out of you in school or something like that when you're learning, you know, the book definitions and then at the end, you know, you answer the questions and you get out?
See, I don't think that's necessary. Even if the answer is yes, I don't think that's necessarily an indication of a lack of creativity or diminished creativity, but maybe just that we've been taught how to take a test. And so if you're testing, we know what's usually expected and how to deliver it. And then they're like, oh, they're not creative.
Well, before you go, I know I'm kind of jumping back in, but to answer that question, they said a little bit is the way that we've been teaching, like that, like kids are naturally curious. They're like, why? And the thing is that you get teachers that are like, shut up, quit asking why, answer a fucking question, take the test. And so then, basically, like creativity is not it. You know, some people are naturally talented, naturally fast, slow, whatever. But you can improve that skill. You can creativity is a skill, and it's kind of beaten out of you at a certain point or something. That what we're
going to
say?
Well, I was going to say, like, I think that has a lot to do with with the advances in everything, in like describing what things are. Like, you learn at some point in your life that this is what a box is and this is what a box does. You put things in a box and it holds other things, right? Yeah. And we have all these strict, like, this is what this is done for, and this is what this is for. And we may have, like, tons of things that we didn't used to have for that serve specific purposes, but everything has a specific purpose. And so if everything has a purpose, you don't have to really learn creativity, you know, for what to do with something. And I noticed, like, my nephew, like, he has all these toys, like, and I see parents do this all the time. Like, the kid will, like, jump in the box that the toy came in, and the parents are like, no, don't play with that. You know, this is your toy. And they have all this realistic stuff, and they don't have to cultivate that sort of imagination anymore that breeds, I think, creativity, creative problem solving. And so I think that education has a lot to do with it. I also think that, like, the way that the toy culture that has come up, you know, it just doesn't leave a lot of room. This is what this is, and it has a finite. It's interesting. It has an objective truth to what it is.
Yeah.
In this world where everything's subjective, like items and things, and their purposes and how they're used have like single uses, specific uses, and you don't think outside of like what that's for, you know?
Yeah. And some of it is that they talked about that, like, you kind of need a little bit of boredom, like, to, you know, like, it's not, and a lot of times you treat boredom, like, it's the way that you treat that boredom. And, you know, like, does that spur you to be creative? Or when you're bored and they're like, well, you know, and then you stomp that out, or you don't let people be bored enough. They don't get to the point where they're bored enough to think of something to do. Brad, what were you going to say? How are you stomping out the creativity in your children?
as feverishly as possible. I do not want them thinking for themselves. I want these bitches chained to the oven, making meals around the clock. That's it.
Yeah, you can get creative with how you make those pies.
From a recipe book. I do not want you looking in the cupboard thinking, I think we have enough shit for mincemeat pie. That's what we're making tonight. Nope.
I think that too. Yeah. The ability to Google all the answers, like, you don't, nobody, like, adults don't think about and ponder like what something is. They're just like, oh, let's look it up, you know? No more arguing about what's right or you know.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good point.
No more dumb arguments. Mm. Thanks, Google.
Dumb arguments led us as young people in a bunch of different directions.
Yeah.
You know, you were just had to think about if you were going to arrive at any reasonable conclusion, even though it wasn't the, you know, right endpoint all the time. I'm not a big fan of the toy culture. My wife knows that. If she was listening to this, she would be like, yeah, no shit. I like to throw toys away. I understand, like, they need stuff to play with. And I think there is a, a range to me that's a really good range. And I think once you eclipse that number of toys, that everything does adopt that very, like, concrete function of it. But I think that if you have some, and especially if you don't have all of, like
the complete Lego set.
Yeah, of the My Little Ponies.
Yeah.
You know, that it enables them to sort of expand their creative opportunities. I mean, you know, I've already seen Anna do stuff with, you know, multiple toy sets, and now she's getting, you know, her little sister involved, and I mean, she'll make boxes into stuff, you know, into a tower that these princesses play with, you know, the pig over here. And so, I mean, some of that stuff is really fun to see. I don't know. I want them to learn early, and I want to drive them to, like, know her alphabet, know the numbers, know how to fucking draw this letter and do this thing and all that stuff. But I realize the value of boredom too. I haven't even really thought about it from a creativity perspective. I mean, I really like that, but I just think, from a fun perspective, I mean, yeah. Anna has already, you know, she loves playing the floor as lava. She loves like going out on her swing set, and the swing set becomes the pirate ship. The swing set becomes Death Mountain. The swing set becomes, you know, this, that, and the other. And it's, I mean, it really is fun, like just chilling with her and not giving her task and just seeing what she comes up with. I mean, she's only 3 years old, and she's already, you know, I mean, it really is early. Like, kids are just smart and they're fun.
I think the cool thing about the article, there's a Newsweek article where they're talking about this, is that, and this we brought up a couple times, is that a lot of people associate that only with children. Like, they're like, oh, they're just a fountain, and then you lose it, right? I mean, even movies are made this way. But I think what was cool about it, the article, is that you don't really lose it. You just kind of learn, you know, you don't really, you stop thinking that way. You know, you train yourself out of thinking that way or of you know, basically thinking out of the box, you know, and then you try to have these creativity seminars and it might, whatever, they try to get your creativity. It really just a habit, you got to break it, or it's a skill you got to pick up again. I think there is something to learning the baseline, right? You have to know the rules. Like, the Earth has rules, right? You know, science has rules that we have to follow. But within those rules, you can bounce around and create a bunch of different stuff. I always like to hear that, like, Tom Morello, he's like, you know, there's, like, so many different – Tom Morello's a guitarist, right,
for a Beatles machine.
That he's What's a guitar?
well, he learned the guitar.
Where can I learn that?
So he says, like, there's so many different, you know, setups and things. You can get lots of different amps and all kinds of things. You just, you know, it's almost infinite. So he likes giving himself a set number of things and then says, within this, I will create some music. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, it makes him think, you know what I mean? It challenges him to, because otherwise he's just too much choice.
Right.
So
Stravinsky did that too. Stravinsky would, like, take five notes and say, I'm going to write 10 pieces just using these five notes.
And so I think there's something to, like, getting that order there. You know, like, you know the rules of the universe, you know, like, you know, you said alphabet, whatever, you know what I mean? But then can you create, you know, a language? Kids create languages or something like that when they're in middle school. They create elaborate worlds and all kinds of different things. So that kind of brings me back to the, you know, Wile E. Coyote and like, perfecting something like that, creating a joke. I mean, that I think that's kind of something like that, that like that form was not really looked highly upon. They still don't look at it as filmmaking. They're just like, you're making cartoons. You're fucking making cartoons, right? But within that, you know, like the guy kind of explains and makes a pretty good argument for how that was like, you know, such great filmmaking that it should be up there with some of our, you know, the other canon that we have. Like, oh, you got, you know, what is the one? Rosebud, what is that called? Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane.
Yeah, you know I mean, and there's a little bit to that. And I think if you think about the timelessness of some of those cartoons that, like, Chuck Jones and company made, you kind of get that. You're like, that's still funny. And when people try to like, basically duplicate that, like, when they make modern Bugs Bunny cartoons, it's just not the same. It's, like, missing something. And some of it is that, you know, like, the little rule set up that they had in the 30s and 40s when they're like, this is going to be it, and we're just going to make – we'll just do these gags. So there's, like, a rule set there. But, you know, they were still coming up with new and novel things. Anyway, I thought that was interesting, and I thought you guys should learn about it. And that's today's Things You Should Know on Drange Penguin. So there you go. So anytime you can't think of an idea, it's because you're dumb. They beat it out of you. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
You just gotta get back on the fucking
it's
horse.
Not your fault.
Take some responsibility for that shit.
Yeah.
Go jump off a building.
Seminars.
Screw gravity.
Yeah. Don't get don't get that 64 box of crayons. And get that 8.
Yeah.
See what you can do with that 8. Or if you like
everything vomit colored. It'd be great.
Vomit rules everything around me. Del, what'd you do today?
Today? Today I taught music today. Yeah.
I heard you murdered somebody or someone.
I did. I had to find a creative solution to end the life of a mouse.
What the hell?
It's creative. Very creative.
Like, right,
I found a set of rules, so... So I was sitting in this room doing something on my computer, and I see something on the corner of my eye like run by, and like, oh, there must be a roach because Mississippi has tons of roaches or whatever. Yeah. I see it dart by a couple more times, so I look, and it's a mouse, a little mouse in here, and the doors were closed, it was stuck. No, my feet were up off the ground, and I was like, oh, that's disgusting. It's something about mice. Like,
they're actually kind of cute. They're so cute.
They
are.
They really are.
They just, like, I looked at it and was like, this thing is disease. Like, it's running around, and disease is everywhere that it stops.
Poor
I can't touch it.
I mean, while
that's... didn't know he was diseased.
Yeah, while that's true, and, you know, like, mice carry a bunch of disease or whatever, if I see a mouse, I'm less likely to think, oh, it's disgusting here. Then if I see a roach. If I see a roach, I'm like, oh, my God.
See, I think if I see a rat, I'd be disgusted like that.
Yeah, rat. Rats, definitely.
The roaches are actually very clean. Roaches don't carry diseases.
They do carry some diseases, but also they look gross.
Yeah, they carry. I'd like to kill myself.
Yeah, they carry. They cause me. They cause me self murder. So you know, there's only one way out.
So this mouse, I'm like, oh my gosh, and it starts scratching over to try, and it's clearly trying to get out of the room.
Aww.
Yeah,
and I'm like, no. I have to catch this mouse. What am I going to do?
I'm trapped in here with a giant. How do I get out of here?
You are disease.
I went and got a Ziploc bag, and I was like, maybe I can catch it. Maybe I can catch it. So I waited for it to come back. It ran into the closet, hit it, and then a little while later it came out. And I was like, okay, I'm going to grab it. So I like almost caught this mouse.
But you were doing like a Tom and Jerry routine there?
A little bit, yeah. A little bit, yeah. Diving on the ground, trying to grab the mouse. I get it, but it slips through my hands a couple of times. So I'm finally like, I got to find another solution. So,
right, so did you go like mechanical death murder, like the one that's like snaps them in half? Or did you go glue trap?
Now I went and got a glue trap and brought it in here. And the next night, I closed the doors, set it in here on the ground, set a little piece of banana on it. And, by the way, the next morning, it had clearly gotten onto the desk and, like, chewed on some things and stuff. I was like, this is not okay. I've gotta do something about it. I don't know how it climbed up. I guess it climbed up the wires or something, but...
rodents are awesome. Yeah, they can climb on anything. I used to have a hamster, and I kept her cage on top of my dresser, and she would get out at night, like every night.
They're nocturnal.
And climb down the back of the dresser, which was like a smooth surface.
Plywood.
Yeah, but I guess she just found some way to grip it, and she would climb down and like go explore, and then I'd have to go find her and put her back. Wow. Or a hamster. She was so happy.
Yeah, she climbed down, or did she?
Yeah, I could hear her. I could hear her climbing. Like you would hear like a grinding, like scratchy noise.
I could hear her thud as she hit the ground.
A little damaged, a little worse for wear.
She was climbing very quickly, about 9.8 meters per second squared.
All right, so there you are thinking about your.
So I'm sitting here and I look back and notice that the mouse is stuck in the glue trap.
No.
So they're like, okay, I got it. I'm like, what am I going to do with this mouse now? Like, I'll just set it outside and it'll die or hopefully an animal will come like eat it. And I started thinking about it and I was like, that doesn't feel right. Just to leave it. It's just going to starve to death sitting there stuck in a glue trap, not be able
to nature, helpless.
So I start looking up. It's like, what do you do with a rat, with a mouse in a glue trap? And the first thing I found was like Lifehacker is like, you can't just leave it there. That's like totally inhumane. And I was like, yes, I agree. It's like, here's your option.
I'm pretty sure it's pretty inhumane to like put it in a glue trap in the first, considering
little,
like his skin,
with a little
he can't move. I've seen some of them like almost rip their skin off because they're like trapped in the
It was not happy to be there. I felt bad for it. And I was like, I don't want to like.
You're not getting like a Christmas card from the mouse.
Probably not. But it was like you can build this kind of complicated euthanasia chamber, basically.
Really?
Like. Yeah, you made it.
Yeah, a torture chamber for your mouse. There's like a whole
euthanasia
chamber
to put it to sleep.
Fucking gas
death.
Chamber.
So what? You have to hire some kid from Asia.
Yeah, it's fairly simple. It's like baking soda and vinegar, but you have to have like a way to feed it in, like. It's so I was like, no.
Well, before tiny you air duct system,
yeah,
little tiny house,
get to the
lock the tiny door,
exactly. Turn the tiny stove on so he gets he dies of
car. Little car.
He dies of car.
Pick the car, close the garage, start the car.
Little suicide.
And then he tried his best.
By the way, yeah. I just want to say that Brad obviously got the creativity beat out of him really early. God, fucking yeah. That was terrible. Isn't it better to get like a 22? I mean,
well,
you guys are in the middle of nowhere, and then just shoot him in the face.
One of the options was to shoot it, but I don't have a gun, and that seems terribly wasteful.
That really is overkill.
Yeah, it's a fucking mouse. It's like get a heavy shoe or something.
You have a heavy. Who has
heavy
a heavy enough shoe?
And smash its head in. Make sure you hit it in the head, so you don't have to do it twice because then it's just causing pain to the mouse. So I was like, oh, "What can I use? I'm gonna have to do this." So I was like, "A book, a nice heavy book. The spine of a book would do pretty good, dude."
Why don't you just get like a hammer that gives you accuracy?
Because it was midnight. And I did feel like going searching for a bunch of stuff for an hour. I wanted to get it done. It was already.
I wanted to go look for a really obscure, heavy book with a wide spine.
It's either that or my old wooden clubs.
Somewhere in my parents' house that I'm not familiar with. I didn't want to look for a hammer in the toolbox where I knew where that was.
I don't know where the toolbox is. It's my grandmother's house. I don't think that she has tools. So
It was late. I wanted to get it over with. I was not excited. I just didn't want to think about it anymore because I was ready to go to bed. I wanted to go to sleep. I think it was Saturday night and I had to get up early on Sunday or something. But so I grabbed this book, this Mary Higgins Clark book.
Oh, my God.
And I go outside and I look, this mouse and I, like, we had a moment there. He was like, I know what has to happen.
And now what must be done? Do it quickly.
I put him in the Ziploc bag, put the glue trap in so that he was covered in the Ziploc bag.
For your crimes against chewing my paper.
I said, sorry, bud. And then just like smashed his head. And it was like this rage just like just surged. And I was like, after it was done, I was like, damn it. That sucked.
Murderer.
But I think it was
that's
not
torturing small animals. I think now you're gonna be a serial killer.
No, he smashed not his pleasant. Head in.
It was not pleasant. And I think that like that surge or whatever, that overcoming like the feeling that I had doing it was not fun either. But it was like the only way I could do it because I wanted to make sure I did it in one blow.
Yeah,
you know?
Have to. You had to like Ned so Stark. Like, yeah, Ned Stark the guy
on this tiny little mouse. And it seemed better than stomping. I could
but
have, like,
you,
found a shoe and stomped
it. Really
it
really hard,
but,
doesn't it
God,
become just,
terrible.
Like, really gory? Like, didn't you, like, pop the bag and then, like, head
it,
splatter?
Mouse the bag wasn't sealed. It was open. It was just to protect it. It didn't. There was a little bit of blood, but
to
it wasn't a lot.
To protect Mary Higgins Clark.
Right.
Not yeah. to protect the mouse.
You should really write
well,
a letter.
Protect everything from any disease that the mice
might. No.
Yeah, again, with the disease, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like you could have just got a cleaver, from, right? That's the, you know, guillotine.
Is any of this humane?
I feel like all of this was like
when you're on your deathbed and you're old, you're like going down the list of ideal ways to die.
I think
guillotine.
You could smash
guillotine
me with a book.
It's actually not that because your brain, the thing about hitting
you
in the head is the brain dies. When brain dies,
off.
It's done.
Well, I mean, okay, I'm not saying, please don't smash me in the head with a book, okay? That's what I'm saying. Don't do that.
A really heavy, undesirable book.
You said, Gina, when you're going in your final days, like, your mom said she wants to go humanely.
I want
to
go peacefully.
It would be like dropping a piano on your head.
Yeah, I mean.
Don't do that either.
It's terrifying when a piano is chasing
after
you down the stairs.
After you glue
way.
Me to a mat. Glue me to a mat first to make
it
worth
move.
It. And
my face is glued.
Then drop a piano on my head, please.
I would like, I think that's actually
that?
Sort of a preferable way to die.
Hilariously, like in 1920s comedy, slapstick
no,
style?
No, like versus, I don't know, like, get, I don't know, they're like a 50 other ways that I would rather not die. Like, what if you were on fire? What if you were drowning?
I yeah. wouldn't want to do that. Yeah. I mean,
what if you were bleeding to death after getting shot?
Well, we weren't thinking about setting the mouse on fire either.
That's
we're
what I was saying.
Well, I mean, there's the yeah, shot him with a 22 cleaver.
I don't know.
The most humane thing would have been putting it to sleep peacefully with CO2, but
like a choke slam maybe.
But think about like when I think about the time they would have I would have had to keep it overnight and it would have been suffering the entire time and freaked out and scared as heck.
You
know?
Could have just set him in the muffler and then turn the car on, right?
This is
your yeah, muffler's exhaust pipes get hot.
Yeah. Now we're dining.
Well, now we're
well, I was thinking
like,
as opposed to like building the tiny house
Gina
and gassing him.
Smiling about it. She's like chuckling about her cooked carbon monoxide mouse.
He wouldn't be toasted. He would just get
oh,
a
God.
Lot of the gas all
oh,
at once,
God.
Right?
You know what I would have done? I mean, I don't really
what?
Know.
Before it even gets hot, he would be dead.
The way I mean, honestly, this is why
not
I think
a mouse
this
killer.
Is why I think the
know.
Other ones are better, like the ones that just like break their back or whatever. Because then you can just get it,
that's
you can
better.
Throw you can throw it in an ant pile and let nature take its course. You know, the main course.
Break its back,
rat time.
And let him get eaten alive.
Yes,
that's humane.
Not that it's inhumane, it's nature. That's what happens. They get
well, that's
injured.
That's what I thought about putting it outside.
Yeah, animals
like,
eat
that's
it.
Not, that's not, it's not fair because it's stuck. It's just sitting there. It's like bait.
And then also, if it gets out, it's going to come right back. And apparently, if you let them go, because I thought about just letting it go outside. I've read about that. And they're like, if you let it go, it usually comes back and brings more with it.
Like, and, hey, guys, I found a great place to eat desk paper.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
You take him for a ride. You drop him off.
He'll find his way back. And
in the next town.
He'll find his way back. You cannot trust mice. God.
They know.
Fake ID.
They know the bus system.
You got to start over, guy.
Uh-huh, Mr. Dell. You thought you could trap me. You expect me to talk and tell you where my mice friends are, Mr. Dell?
But I do feel like there's something, Mr. Mice.
I expected to die.
I would rather just use it. I have some traps just in case there are more that are the kind that like snap their neck or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that there's something about like facing up to it and being like, you know, doing it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like I said, Ned Stark. Ned Stark says you got to put somebody to death. You got to do it yourself.
Yeah.
You get ice. You slice his head off.
I agree.
Doing that, what I did is I'm pretty much Ned Stark.
I think that's why I hate insurance companies.
Except you're Mary
so
Higgins
much.
Clark.
Because Ned Stark?
Yeah.
Because insurance companies have no problem denying, like, some old person their insulin, you know? Because they don't have to tell the old person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am such a fan of doing your own dirty work.
Yeah.
It changes things for sure.
Makes it a lot more dirty.
I mean, that's the thing I was talking about. Is that, like, you know, speaking of kids, before we move on, because I know Brad has a super dark story to tell. Before we move on, that's the thing about, like, how we were talking about this before, like, how far we were removed from death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything from like, you know, like your pet's dying. I think that's everybody's like first. You're like, oh my god, you know, Bubbles is dead. So yeah, it fucking happens. You know, Grandma's gonna die. I'm probably gonna kick the bucket. We're all gonna die, kid. You know what I mean? And I mean, like, it used to be that you go outside and fucking kill some chickens. Like, get some chickens. We're making dinner. You know, and you're like, oh yeah. And you fucking spin them around.
Right.
And so you were a lot closer to death. Like, death, I mean, I don't think that death is like such a thing. It's like, oh, death. I mean, it is a part of life. Like, you know what I mean? I kind of teach you a little bit of danger there, you know what I mean? Like, if you mess up, you know, your horse breaks its leg and now you got to put it down, you know? Don't trip, kid. I don't know the lesson. I don't know what the lesson is for
them. Is that what you're going to teach your kid?
Listen up. This is what your kid's going to be learning. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I think that's the thing there. Like you said, I guess it's good that you killed the mouse. You know?
I couldn't do it. I would have had to catch him.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to kill him. I mean, that's what you're going to do, but what do you do with it?
You got to kill him.
I guess
you'd keep it as a pet.
No, I would catch him. And
yeah, you were talking about how it's disease or whatever.
Take him somewhere that I thought was far away and
groom him every other week.
So your options there, like, your decision tree is
get him eating clean.
You know, do I want to kill him? No, I don't want to kill him. But do I think he presents a danger to me? Yes. Therefore, I need to remove him from this premises. And then, like, as you explained, every other, you know, non-murderous way ends up him coming back with his mouse friends, right? So you're like, well, then he must die. Mm-hmm. So then you got to kill him. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, there was no other option there, right?
Yeah, he had a fair trial.
If he goes into the closet, he's going to die. Oh, that's it. He's dead. There he is. You made your choice, mouse. The line in the sand was drawn.
I had an equally emotionally disturbing situation tonight. I had something a lot more frivolous that I wanted to talk about, but this is the first time this has happened to me. I hope that it never happens to me again. I was on my way home. I was driving, and I struck a man riding a bicycle.
What?
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 Yeah.
Are you serious?
Is he seriously injured?
Serious.
Is he okay?
He
what
is.
Happened?
not like the mouse, thankfully.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's really
good. You didn't have to pull the book out.
I thought about it.
The big-ass book in his trunk.
I keep my Barry Higgins Clark book in the trunk.
I'll be right back. I gotta get a book.
This is bad. This is bad.
Sorry, buddy.
It was really unsettling, buddy.
That's crazy. Were you by yourself?
I was by myself. I had pulled into a turn lane, and I was waiting for one car to come across, and then I started to accelerate to turn left. And it's this guy, he's wearing a black hoodie. He's got a black bike, no reflectors, no lights. And he, like, right across, like, right in front of my car. And I hit the brakes, and I actually just hit his back tire. But still, and he was, like, still standing. It's not like he even fell to the ground. But it was really unsettling to hit somebody on a bike, man.
I bet.
Yeah, dude.
You know, so I fucking slam on the brakes, and now I'm, like, my car is in, like, the incoming traffic lane. And I just throw into park because I want to get out and make sure he's okay. So I fucking throw into park. I get out, and I was like, hey, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. Why? I was like, the fuck do you mean why? I just hit you with my car.
I almost killed you.
He was like, yeah, it wasn't that bad. And I was like, what? And he
just,
was like,
just rides
I'm fine.
Like that all the time.
And I was like, I mean, are you sure you're fine? And he like, shook out both of his legs and, like, jumped up a little bit. He's like, yeah, good to go. I was like,
happens all the time.
What about your bike? And he was like, it's fine. And he was like, I'm just worried about your car. I was like, fuck my car. I hit you on your bike with my car. My car is probably fine.
Well, did you, I mean, I was did only you going hit, like or did you contact it, you know? Because, like, hit implies some, like, velocity, you know?
I think a vector, speed, direction.
Yeah, okay.
I'd still be freaked out.
Because I was probably going between 5 and 10 miles an hour.
But you're accelerating.
So but I was accelerating.
Acceleration.
Right, do the physics on that. What do you think?
Anyway.
Probably about 70, 80 pounds of pressure there.
There you go.
I look over.
Do you measure those in joules? Is that what that is?
Now there are cars like headed down towards my car, which is parked in oncoming traffic.
They weren't
track.
Waiting for you guys,
and they were not interested in waiting. it was also fucking raining.
Like, anyway,
hey, fuck that guy! Run him over! I gotta get him.
I was like, I gotta move my car and get it out of the oncoming traffic. And he was like, "All right."
Like, why are we still talking?
So I go and I hop in and just crank it up, move it like onto the street that I was turning onto, and I stop and I turn and I just throw it to park and I turn around. This dude's fucking gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like,
because the weird guy behind him tapped him behind and he wants to have a conversation.
Just happened to me. Like, it was so bizarre.
Well, it was the best possible outcome for
it was, I was,
hitting somebody on a bike.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's
fine, and he didn't care.
Because you can really fuck somebody up that way. So. Yeah.
Or just have them pissed off, like, even if he was fine and he was just,
like
trying to blame you or something.
If you swapped in places, if you got that guy and put him into the car, and you got Brad and put him on the bike, like, Brad would be suing him right now. Like, oh, my God, you hit my bike! Yeah. My bike!
The guy's like,
yeah, you're fine, though, right?
No big deal!
My bike was hit. Oh,
I have a paint scratch on my bike.
Your car is huge. It's like, no, eh, but you're good.
I was like, oh, what the fuck was I gonna say?
Did you cry?
Oh, I was like, are you okay? He was like, yeah, man, I'm fine. I mean, it's just a lesson for me, you know. Like, I gotta
buy
invest some
reflectors.
Good lights. Like, gotta get some good lights, you know.
It's a good
lesson.
Dude. Is good, a good guy.
That guy is dead right now. He didn't make it home.
Because Brad murdered him.
He learned his lesson, but somebody else ran him over on the way.
That's what happens, right?
On my way to get reflectors.
I've seen the light. I'm going to get tomorrow.
That's fine, man.
I'm
going buy some lights.
Tomorrow's all lights for me.
Yeah, I'm gonna save up and get some safety gear.
Nobody else has hitting.
No.
Hitting's not a word.
I've heard of a lot of people at school, like more than I would think, getting hit on their bikes. I'm like, apparently like this happens all the time.
You would think like one in like 100.
Like people, lightning kind of thing. Like who gets hit on their bike?
Yeah, that's like regularly.
Yeah, it happens all the time. And then people talk about how motorists like harass you in your bikes. Like they'll like try to like run them off the road or like. I had no idea.
Well, Adele, you're going to say something, but like when we're in Seattle, right, and there's a lot of bikes there, and in Portland too, right? I don't know if you saw, there's a lot of bicyclists in Portland, Adele. But we're in a cab, like, you know, like going from, you know, here to there or something like that, we're driving, and then they're like, these fucking people on these bikes, man, they're fucking on the road. I'm like, hey, cab driver, calm down, you know? They're just like, honking at them, because they're, and they're a little bit more, they're a lot more aggressive. In Seattle, like the bicyclists and the pedestrians, you know, they're like, we own it, it's our word. And then, rightly so, I think, but you know, you're gonna say somebody got hit, Adele?
April. Y'all know April. Yeah. She got hit, like, rolled over the top of the car. Like,
Jeez.
Like action Jesus. Movie style?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's scary.
A friend of the show, Gonzo, his wife, she got hit in a bike too, and she broke her leg and her arm. Same thing. Here in San Antonio.
But I will say that. Bicyclists I know very few that like follow the laws of the road. They do act like I'll just do whatever I want and cars have to yield to me. And that's bullcrap. Like bicyclists should follow the rules of the road just like everybody else. If they don't and they get hit.
Yeah, because otherwise how are we supposed to react to you?
Yeah. And sometimes that happens, like sometimes it's accidental. A lot of times, you know, the times when people are driving real close and harassing, like, do shit to them, that's fucked up, obviously.
Yeah, in Louisville, I used to ride my bike. Denton people were pretty kind, pretty good but I would ride my bike to work, and people would pass me, like, a foot away. Like, no slowing down, like, speeding around me, and I could tell they were annoyed that I existed. And I'm like, dude, come on. Like, it's a four-lane road, there are two lanes. And there's nobody even in the other lane. They'll, like, stay in my lane, and like, as close as they can. It's wild.
Make sure you want to, like, slam on your fucking brakes. Or swerve, you know? Like,
Yeah. I mean, I noticed that a couple of things. Like, the other day, there's a bike lane right here. There's not a whole lot of bike lanes in San Antonio, but there's one near where we live. And so we're getting on a highway, and the bike's in front of us, and... You know, knowing all this stuff, and having ridden the bike around San Antonio, we kind of know this. We give them some space. We don't get up on the side of them. We treat them like their own ride and give them some space so they're comfortable. Because it is kind of scary when the car is coming because you can't really do anything. If the car taps you, you're going to fly. You know, you can't run the car off the road with your you know, it's a bike brand.
Schwinn.
Trek.
With your Schwinn. With your Huffy.
Cannondale.
So then like the light comes and he comes to the stop and he just goes right through it like nothing. And I was like, yeah, you can't really do that. If you're going to ride in the street, you ride in the street. You stop.
Right. Yep.
So it's funny. So we went to New York, right? We were there in Brooklyn and we're meeting up with a friend and he's like, yeah, I'm going to be down the street. And he's riding his bike over there. He's like super hipster. He's, you know, he's subletting an apartment, rides his bike everywhere in Brooklyn and he works as a software developer. Anyway, he got a ticket for running red light there. And I was like, good. And he was like, yeah. I was like, what the shit, man? I was like, yeah, well, you know, you should have. Got to obey the rule. Rules of the road. So how do you feel then? You got to shake it off? Is that why you're
recovered?
quote-unquote sick?
That was actually why I stayed up. I was just amped up. I couldn't get to sleep. Like I texted y'all, like, right before I left work. And
then that happened on the way.
Fucking that happened. I'm like, I'm not going to sleep right now.
At least you're composed. I would probably be a wreck. I hit a cat once, and that about destroyed me.
She let go of the wheel.
Yeah. Well, for hours.
Kitty cat.
I think I'm just lucky. I mean, I think both of us are, you know?
Yeah.
Because if the guy was hurt, I would be a wreck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, remember that time you almost ran over a pedestrian?
No.
Oh my
like,
god.
You were like Gina. Turning and I was like, hey Gina, wait, and there was like a person they had just kinda jumped out in the street.
Yeah, they jumped out in the street.
So you almost ran
I over. Didn't almost hit them. They were fine.
Well, I'm
they
just were saying.
Completely out of the way.
You were like 7 feet away from them.
Yeah. It was like right up on them. Like the ones the old ladies walking across the street and the car's like. Aah!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They just bumped her walker. Just a little tap.
Love tap.
But yeah, that would freak
me
out.
But no, so I'm the only one. I'm the only one who's hit somebody on a bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've imagined like just, I've. Yeah. Had like imagined the scenario, like I'll all of a sudden be like, oh my gosh, like what if this person that I just passed like had jumped out or like fallen out in front of me and like I'd killed somebody with my car,
it's close to happening,
and like what happens, my whole life is over, you know, because there's nothing, like it doesn't matter if it's accidental or not, no. Like you're going to jail for a long time, and I just, that scenario has played out in my head multiple times. I think that keeps me a little bit more aware so I don't do it, you know, hopefully, you know.
Well, I mean, it's good. It's good that you have a healthy fear of that, you know. You know, like, hey, well, fuck it, you know, they need to get out of the way. You know, that's good. Yeah. That's good. It's a good society thing. A little healthy fear keeps everybody in there.
But the weight of that, man, yeah. The weight of that, I'm sure that all that's been going through your head, like the possibilities of what that would have been, and like,
yeah,
thing to have on your conscience.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I'm not really worried about like which I probably should be worried about the, like the actual consequences of like being in jail.
Yeah.
Of like,
well, losing, I mean, I don't know if you would have gone to jail for all that.
But I'm just worried about like a guy, like, I mean, I don't know, like, or somebody's wife, like, you fucking imagine like Jeff just gets killed.
I do. I have.
Gina doesn't come home from work.
Yeah, I've imagined that most of
walking the
I've
dogs.
Imagined that lots of times.
No, but tried not, to play not, it not out. Like a positive way, not in like a fantasy. I mean, like I can't wait.
You know, this is another thing we got into, and I know. I mean, like I said, I think these are worthwhile things to think about. Like, and we're talking about before, like, you know, Gina and I are in the car.
Murdering cyclists?
Yeah. I was like, all right, say we murder these cyclists, right? And then we crash and we die. What happens then? Like, who gets notified? You know, how they know anything? Like, you know, so they can't identify our bodies. And they're looking like, all right, well, who do we tell that these people died? Like, what do they tell? How does that happen? Is people just going about their business for a couple of days and nobody knows we're dead?
That's right.
Like, fucking Adam needs to come to work. You know, little do they know, I'm in a morgue way. I mean,
what happens to the dogs?
Yeah, they'll probably die in here if we didn't hurry up. Somebody hurry up and opens the apartment. They'll be in here starving. Poor guys. In case of death, please somebody feed my dogs. The food's up in the sun right there. Otherwise, they'll eat each other, and I'm pretty sure I know which one's gonna eat the other one.
Hey!
What? Hey!
What are you drinking, Adam?
It's a adult beverage. I mean, porn.
Is that a brandy?
No.
Is that a carbonated brandy, less alcoholic type of
no,
brandy?
No, I did drink a lot of the brandy the other day when we played board games with friends.
What are you drinking tonight?
This is Weekend Warrior.
Is it a beer?
It's a beer. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
How many weeks, Brad? How many weeks?
What is this about? How many weeks?
Eight.
Is it? He made 8 weeks.
No. Three.
Yeah, I think it was three.
I think it was three.
To go back to drinking beer.
Brandy. I didn't like getting over it. I literally had a brandy the other day.
Sure. I'm sure you did.
You have to start texting the pictures, and then I can.
Hold on. Yeah, Gina. I know. Now I call it Brad's brandy. I was like, give me some of the Brad's brandy over there. Gina, you had something to say. You're going to give us an update on your life.
I was going to give us a movie.
And then an update on yourself. Meanwhile, I'm going to go to the
fuck
bar
you.
And bring the brandy over here.
Serve yourself
some
drink.
Go keep drinking your weekend water.
I'm just going to bring it.
Yeah.
Eight.
Back to beer.
Did I say eight?
I don't know.
You're shaking up. Yeah, you're not responsible for what you say right now. Yeah. Close call.
So you're seventh trimester?
Chill, on a lighter note, I'm doing that whole third trimester thing.
So you made it almost through a bottle before you went back to the
house. Yeah. He didn't even make it an entire bottle before he abandoned ship.
His brain is almost done.
Third now trimester. Now he's going to guzzle it before he goes to bed.
Yeah.
Adam has finished only two of the three. He's finished only two of the three trimesters of that bottle right there.
You're worried about murdering that bicyclist. You're going to murder me because I'm going to chug that brandy. Gene, how's your third trimester going?
Well, I guess it's just beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 27 weeks pregnant.
So what happens when you're third trimester? You wake up and you're like, I feel third trimester-y.
Apparently it gets worse again, so I'm kind of scared.
What happens? I
felt fine, you know, all this time. I've been pretty glowy good. Period.
Yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, Gene looks so pretty.
The third one, you get like new symptoms again. You get, well, back pain is one of them that they say, which I have been having.
Past couple days. Some of that might be because you were
I've been working. Yeah. I've been building things.
Yeah, it's going to get worse.
Yeah. And it's just going to get bigger. And I do feel at this point like my stomach can't get any bigger. But apparently it's going to get bigger.
I felt, look, you know what? Honestly.
It's quite taut.
At the beginning of the weekend, it was big. And then by like Sunday, I was like, I think it got bigger. Like noticeably bigger over 2 days. Yeah. I feel like it did.
Yeah.
And then eventually your body is going to stop depositing any extra weight down there because it's just going to be like, oh, I can't make it happen, Gina. It's just going to deposit it like elsewhere. All on your jowls.
Best not.
Yeah,
so, it's going to be tight. We'll see. And then they give
So your wife had jowls, is what you're saying?
No, I don't. I've never seen
jowls.
I mean, because you're speaking with some kind
of
authority.
It all goes straight to your face, and you look like shit.
You had authority in his voice, Del.
Your ankles.
I mean, sounded like you
needed it. They're not going to look like ankles.
And it's weird because they tell you, like, with comparisons to foods, how big the kid is, and they say, like, this week it's going to be as big as a head of cauliflower.
What the fuck is that?
Which is not that big, and I'm like, it feels a lot bigger. Like, you can feel movement all over the place. I'm like, what is it doing in there that I feel, like, poking up at the top of my stomach, at the side, and on the other side, all at the same time?
Yeah.
Hey, let's make some room up here.
Yeah,
he's just stretching things out.
But he's also got, like, you know, his partner in crime, the placenta, that's taking up room, too. So, I mean, that, you know, like, even though he is only the size of the head,
it's a she this week. It's a
she
this week.
Whatever. Shim.
Respect my kid.
Dang.
She has got
we rotated
other,
every week.
Other
last
stuff
week was
taking up
him.
Space. This it makes it even harder.
Yeah. Well, so, like, I start talking to the kid. Like, hey, kid, if you see a mouse, you kill it in the face. Get the biggest book you can find. Golf swing that motherfucker
biggest,
in the
most
face.
Boring book.
Yeah.
Not a good book.
And then the kid kicks in acknowledgement. Yeah. Speaking of flute, I want to jump in here and say that I forgot to mention the
fruit.
A fruit. Yeah, you're talking about like fruit and vegetables and things. I want to jump in on some feedback. Remember we had that papaya discussion and how it's gross and smells like foot.
Yep.
Well, other people said yes. It does smell like foot.
Nasty
time. Including somebody that told me, their grandmother likes to make it, and they politely pretend to eat it until the grandmother turns her back and they throw it away. Because it's gross.
It smells and tastes like vomit.
Thanks, Grandma Papaya, again.
That's all you make.
Oh, I'm going to get you a second helping because you eat it so quick.
That's why you don't fake, though, because then you're getting nothing but papaya and everything. Like, you love it so much.
I love my little granddaughter.
I'm going to put papaya in your spaghetti.
Everything's made of papaya.
Every time I bring it out, nobody else eats it, but yours is always gone. Your plate's always clean.
You love it.
Fuck.
You're going to put some papaya with your bacon.
Pa-bacon. So from what you thought this week in motherhood, what you thought your pregnancy was going to be to now what it is? Have there been any differences? What's the delta on that, you know?
Hmm?
The change. What's the difference there?
Oh.
I got you.
I don't speak finance. Yeah, it's... I don't know. Because I didn't know exactly what to imagine. The only thing I've imagined the most is giving birth, and I haven't had to do that just yet. So I'll report back after...
Makes sense.
The joint gets busted wide open. But pregnancy part, I mean... Mostly what people tell you is pretty much confirmed. Even though everyone differs, there's, like, kind of a standard. And people are like, oh, you feel a lot better in the second one, and that happened. Or, like, oh, you feel queasy in the first, and it'll, like, go away at 13. Unless you're really unfortunate, and then it stays forever. But, yeah, it went away right at week 13. And so pretty much things that I expected or was told or read would happen have happened.
Yeah.
It's not so bad. It doesn't hurt or anything. It's just...
Have you enjoyed your pregnancy?
Big expanding belly. I think it's pretty cool. I filled out the maternity pants, so I don't have the sacky low crotch thing so much anymore, which I don't know if that's great that I'm just stocking up.
Big house lady over here?
Yeah.
That's funny. Gina has a noticeable waddle, and I think that's the one thing. She walks around going like this.
I do not. He keeps telling me this. I'm like, I'm just sore from building furniture.
No, it's not.
I think it's cool. I'm a champ.
No, it's fine.
I think it's cool.
I'm not saying
understand.
There's anything wrong with waddling. I'm just saying.
Sure thing, big guy.
That's all I'm saying. It is pretty cool how your belly button pops out. Like, mine's not protruding yet, but it's flush. And I'm like,
It's like the turkeys done cooking.
Yeah.
It's very weird. I just needed that little bit of extra space. Like, I'm going to put my foot there. So I'm going to just push that in. Yeah. It's very strange.
That's cool. So, yeah, we'll try to have the kids soon after it's birthed.
We'll try to have it.
On the show. Bring it on the show.
Can't wait.
Redhead Darby on the show, but you didn't put Anna on the show, right? She was in the background.
She was in the room. She was in the background.
Yeah, she's in the room. Yeah, but she didn't make the show.
We should link to that other episode. I'm going to make a note to myself to link to that episode where Brad was like... And it's just amazing. And it's just my world is so different.
And I'm just a goofy dad. Father voice.
Yeah, it's great. And then he was a complete zombie for the next.
Yeah, I know. Like Brad used to be funny and full of energy, and
now
so voice. Half of our show might die. In a few months,
it's pretty much going to be down to Dell.
Okay.
So it's going to be Dell. And it's going to be two episodes. It's going to be Dell and hashtag Dell.
No, a show once every couple of months.
I'm just going to get on and when just I remember. Talk to myself.
I've been in my room for 3 days. I heard the mouse war horn outside. They've sworn revenge.
3 Penguin gets really dark. All of a sudden, everybody kind of disappears off the show.
Okay, so before we wrap it up, I said I would choose a movie Valentine's month. So the movie is...
Oh, hey, happy Black History Month. You're going to tell us something about your history.
I'll do that after what I'm already talking about.
Okay.
The movie is... Me and You and Everyone We Know, and it is on Netflix.
It's on Netflix, Brad, that you don't have anymore. Get somebody's password.
You have 2 weeks to watch it, not the whole month. Watch it between now and Valentine's Day. We'll talk about it on the 15th.
What's the name of it again?
Me and You.
Me and You and Everyone We Know.
Okay.
Here's a good thing. Super Bowl's next week. It's on Sunday. We'll talk a little bit about that.
So... Yeah, Black History Month, woohoo! Let's get into some really good facts.
Or you just tell some you did. Yours black, and you can give us your
one
history.
One time, I One time I tried to take my jeans off over my tennis shoes because I was being lazy, and my shoe got stuck in the pants leg, and I had a mild panic attack because I thought I was never getting out of that situation. So always take your shoes off first. Shit gets crazy.
You know, one time my head got stuck in, like, the head.
I don't understand how that's related.
This isn't Hispanic History Month.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to relate. Race relations.
I don't need you to relate to me.
I know what it feels like to be black. One time.
One time, I too got stuck.
I have shoes.
I'm taking my shoes off.
No, that did remind me of, like, one time on a bunk bed on the top. I guess I was, like, snuggling the thing, and, like, my head... I pushed my head, the mattress down, and got my head stuck under, like, the little headboard kind of thing there.
Bar.
And I was, like, kind of stuck there for a second. I was like, oh, shit, I got up. And I got panicked. And this was, like, a day after my dog stuck his head in the spokes of my bike. And I was like...
Oh, God.
Like, dog, like kid.
Yeah, I was like, I had thought about the dog. What a stupid-ass dog. And then as I was trapped in the bed, I was thinking... Damn it.
I see how it happens.
I see what happened, bingo. I get it now. I didn't get it, bingo.
So, a little half black history fact.
Right.
Did you know that the parents of actress Halle Berry chose their daughter's name from Halle's department store, a local landmark in her birthplace of Cleveland, Ohio?
It's not unusual. Halle Berry, Halle Berry.
Nope.
Halle Berry.
Bring it in the month.
Halle Berry. No.
Don't ever do that.
All right. There you go. So we're going to do this like for the next, 4 weeks in this thing?
Yes, yeah, Black History Month. That's all we've got. That's all we've got.
That's all I got. That's all I got. You know... So the
it's
the
over. That's songwriter. The end. Here's that's the thing. The end of the that show. Was the end. Why of the are you show, still talking?
No, Sean
wrapped it.
To cut it. So
this is bonus. This
smashed
is bonus.
It with a book.
Two
it's dead.
Different people.
You assholes
said that was it.
Like you were in show tunes or whatever, right? You were doing Grease Live when you were a kid, and you haven't wrote a theme song.
Why is he still
Dale's
talking?
Dale's a music conductor and symphonist, and he hasn't wrote a theme song.
The
you guys suck
over.
Ass cheeks.
How
show
was the,
is
were we supposed to know? That we were to be writing
lack of
theme
creativity.
Songs.
There he goes. There it is again.
I didn't know.
You got no creativity.
I didn't know
that I could think outside the box.
We needed a fucking alternate intro.
He was in a box.
No, I wrote like four one time. I sent them to you. You never used one like one time. When
it was not good. What do you want me to say?
Those were not written specifically for the show.
No, one was a butt. You're like, my friend had a baby, and then
I did do that. Yeah, that's
no,
when I was
that's
doing
not how
it.
It went.
Right when you had the baby.
It was my best friend just had a new baby.
It was Bo.
I was like that.
Bo had just a new baby.
Yeah,
so now
it was
the show's
that
over.
Auto.
That show's
like
over.
Auto, you just talked into it.
Yeah.
Whatever. You should cut it off.
Anyways, you guys suck.